Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As the word of God goes forth, I fully expect healing to take place if you are sick. I fully expect anytime the word of God goes forth that spare parts will be restored straight from heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You expect that? The Bible says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those who find them. Tonight you are here because you want to find God's word. And the Bible says, my Bible says, God's words are life to those that find them. Not only that, and health to all their flesh, to every part of your body. You got a eye problem, you got ear problem, you got kidney problem, you got lung condition, whatever it is. Health to all their flesh. God's words are health to all your flesh. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's fully expect that to happen as God's word goes forth. You know, the Lord Jesus said in the parable of the sower, he says that the people that hear, they have shut their eyes and they have closed their ears, lest they should be converted and I should heal them. And the word converted there is not to be born again in that context. He's talking about lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. In that context, God is saying, if that happens, I'm obliged to heal them, that I should heal them. But the Bible says that the people that heard Jesus, they have closed their eyes, they have closed their ears, lest God says, I should heal them. So church, when you see God's word, when you hear revelation knowledge, God will heal you. Amen. God promised, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. The Egyptians are people of the world. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. As far as the people are concerned in the world, all right, they have to resort to natural means to be well. But for you and I, God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And if the Lord healeth thee, thou art truly healed. Amen, church? Praise the Lord. Today, you know, the papers and even these past few days, you hear about the bird flu. And it's supposed to be more dangerous than the SARS virus. My Bible says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Amen. So, rest easy. Praise the Lord. These are the last days. And in the last days, you'll hear all kinds of flu. And the Bible says, no evil shall befall you. No evil means no evil. Amen. You ready for the word? All right, once again, I want to start off from where I left off. All right, you can call this a series. It might just be a two-week series. But we've been doing a study on holiness, on sanctification, true holiness, and what it means. And I want to encourage you, if you can, get last week's tape. All right, get last week's tape, because it's going to bless you. And I felt a special anointing guiding me, leading me throughout that entire service for that particular message. And right at the end, we see Jesus. Amen? We see Jesus throughout the sermon, but right at the end, I sense a strong anointing to unveil Christ. And I myself see Jesus. And we see the tremendous blessing in seeing Jesus. Peter, as long as his eyes look at Jesus, he did the supernatural. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he became natural. Amen? So get the tape. And the Bible says we are transformed by beholding the glory of the Lord. From glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. If you are sick in your body, you cannot make yourself well. All right? But you can behold the glory of the Lord in the area of health and healing. And the Holy Spirit will transform you from one degree of the glory of health even to another glory of health. So whatever areas of transformation that you need in your life, just behold the glory of the Lord in that particular area. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will transform you into the same image. The same image of health, the same image of holiness, the same image of power, the same image of compassion you see in Jesus. When you see Him, the Holy Spirit makes you like Him. No wonder the Bible says that when Jesus comes again, we'll be like him, because we shall see him as he is. In other words, even now, when we see Jesus through the scriptures, the Bible says we become like him. And that's the only way for you to become like Jesus. You cannot become like Jesus trying to dress different, all right? Talk different than the people of the world. That kind of strangeness does not make the peculiar people God talks about. We are peculiar in the sense that we are special, the people of God, because God wants us separated from the evils of this world. So once again, to start off from where we left off, look at John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer in the garden. Jesus said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. He's praying for his disciples and also for you and I, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now that's a very intelligent prayer. How many know that if God takes us out of the world, there'll be no more problems for us? How many know that? But then you will have no impact anymore on anybody on earth. You cannot bring anyone to Jesus. So, yes, heaven is definitely a beautiful place. All your needs are met in heaven. But then you cannot be an impact or an influence on the people that are lost and dying. Your loved ones, your relatives, your friends, your fellow students, your colleagues. So Jesus said, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. Now, he's not just praying for his disciples. As we can see, the last line here, I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He's referring to you and I. Amen? And the Lord Jesus says what? I pray for them as well. Now, let's go back to his prayer. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. How does God keep us from the evil one? Sanctify them by your truth. And we established last week that the Greek word for sanctify is the word separate. Say separate. Separate them. Jesus says, separate them. Now in the context, separate them from who? The evil one. Separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the way that God keeps us from the evil one is to sanctify us by his truth. His word is truth. Tonight, as you listen to God's word, there'll be a separation going on. God's word is like a sword, sharper than a two-edged sword, actually. And it will cut away everything the evil one is trying to do in your life. It will cut away every cause of sin. It will cut away every cause of sickness or depression or self-pity or whatever the devil is trying to make inroads into your life. The sword of the Spirit will cut it off. It will separate you from it. The Bible says that's the way we are sanctified. We are separated from the evil one. Can I have a good amen? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So in other words, we got to spend time in the word. We got to keep on looking at the word. Like I shared last week, our healing verses. Every time I look at the healing verses, if I'm sick, the only way for me to be separated from that sickness, from the evil one, is for me to look at the word of God. I cannot change myself, but I can look at the glory of the Lord in all the healing verses. And then the Holy Spirit transforms me into the same image. Isn't this beautiful? Now, that is true holiness. Holiness is not the way you dress. The reason I'm saying this is because for a long time, the body of Christ always target, ladies always kanawan in the teachings on holiness. Ladies are always the prime target. All right, it's always, there was a time ladies are not supposed to have makeup in a particular denomination, in more than one denomination. Ladies are supposed to have their clothes all the way up to here, all right, up to their ankles. Now, you all know I'm not referring to revealing clothes either. Just because you are under grace, don't be stupid. Amen? Very, very poor is the girl whose only attraction is when she flaunts something. But a lady who can attract through the glory of God in her eyes is truly a rare gem indeed. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So I'm not talking about the other extreme either, but there was a time that women are not even supposed to put on makeup and things like that. So this kind of teaching of holiness is not what we are talking about these 2 weeks. We're talking about true holiness. And true holiness is when the world are depressed, you are full of joy and you are at rest. When the world is sick, you are living in health. When the world is down because the economic crisis is up, all right, you reign through the midst of it all as a king in life. And the Lord provides all your needs. That is strange. People look at you and say, it seems like you're not touched. It seems like you are separated. And that's what separation means. In fact, the Bible used the word, we are a special gem, peculiar treasure. I kind of wish the word peculiar is not used in the Old King James. The old word peculiar means God's precious possession. God's treasure. You know, when you put your treasure, all right, you don't put it outside in the living room. You put it under lock and key, isn't it? You are God's treasure. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are God's treasure. God's treasure is His people. Amen. You know, the Bible says that Israel is His inheritance. The Bible even says that the glory of God's inheritance is the saints. We are God's inheritance. In fact, there's a verse that says the Lord's portion is His people. Like, my portion is real estate. My portion, my inheritance is this, silver and gold. But the Lord's inheritance is His people. The Lord's treasure. That's why God wants you to be special, to shine. We also said last week that the opposite of holiness is not sin. It is commonness. To be common. God doesn't want His people common. You are to stand out. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So sin is something that all of us don't want to mess around with because we know sin destroys. But the opposite of holiness is not sin. It is commonness. And the people of the world are common. They can try to act uncommon, but they are common. They cannot live the supernatural life. They cannot do the impossible. Amen. They only can produce special effects. We don't have to produce special effects because ours is the real thing. Can I have a good amen? So I don't care how much qualifications you have to your name, you can never do what only God can gift. You cannot achieve what only the Holy Spirit can produce in your life. As for us, the people of God, we got it. Amen? So once again, holiness, yes, holiness means that you walk in a way that glorifies God and people see Jesus in your life. And we want to see more and more of that happening. So tonight, we are continuing our teaching on holiness in the area of personal transformation. Say, personal transformation. How many think that you want to be transformed a little bit more? How many think that we got a lot of transformation going on still? Amen? So, you know, I really believe that you are truly born again when you have a heart to want to be transformed. You know, for the glory of God. To the point that every Chinese New Year, when your relatives see you, they say that you're always different. And the rest of us grow old, you're still young. What's your secret? You went for facelift, right? Just say, I went for lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Amen? You can also talk about the church, lah. Because Jesus does reveal Himself through His local body. Amen? By the way, before I forget, just to let you know that on 31st of January, over here at the Rock Auditorium, on Saturday, 31st January, we're going to have a Hokkien gospel outreach. All right? Hokkien and Chinese, actually, because the speaker is, by the way, the speaker is the man who wrote, the pastor who wrote the song, Kan Wai Chiu, right? And he was the one that wrote that song, and he's probably going to sing that song, and he's going to preach, and then simultaneously translate it into Chinese. So this is, don't miss this chance, because be alert. The greatest thing you can give to your mother, who is Chinese speaking or Hokkien speaking, or your grandmother, is this gift to invite them to come here. I mean, I'm telling you, this is worth more than sending them to China. This will send them into eternal bliss and peace and blessings. Okay, church? So don't miss this opportunity, all right? Invite them to come, and it will be here at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Two services, 2 o'clock and 7 p.m. All right? Of course, 2 p.m. lah. Cannot be 2 a.m., isn't it? All right, so don't forget. And both Mandarin service and Hokkien service, invite your loved ones. Invite your friends and fill this place up. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're Indian, you can also invite them. There are Indians who speak Hokkien very well. Praise God. Now, tonight, as we look at another key to personal transformation, last week we saw the key, the simple key of beholding. The only thing God wants you to do is to behold. And when you behold, you are transformed. Just like the bronze serpent, they only had to look to be healed. They only had to look. And then, here is where a lot of religious people say, you know, a lot of even carnal Christians, going by their mind, they will say, how just by looking can one be transformed? And yet, I have seen it in my life, I've seen it in the lives all around me, in this church, that just by beholding Jesus, people are transformed. It is that simple, because it is not just beholding, it's when you behold, the Holy Spirit transforms you into the same image. When Peter beheld Jesus, what happened to him? He was transformed into the same image. What image? Jesus was walking on the water. Jesus was doing the supernatural. He was above his problem. And when Peter saw that, all right, all he got to do is just see that. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit transformed him into the same image. Amen. So our part is to see Jesus. And where do you see him? In the scriptures. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's where you find the truths that transform. All right, another truth we want to learn is this. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 37, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. All right, now, God wants us to have the petitions of our heart, for sure. All right, but this verse is not just telling you that God wants to meet the desires of your heart. God is saying here, when you delight yourself in him, he will put his desires in your heart. You don't have to worry about trying to get godly desires. All you got to do is to delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. God will put the desire in your heart. And there are times people say, well, Pastor Prince, you don't understand. I know that this is a sin, but I really enjoy it. I must tell you the truth. I enjoy it. What to do now? Do you want to be transformed? Yes, I want to be transformed, but I don't have the heart to really break away from this sin. What do I do now? All right? Now, in such a case, people will give up on people like that. But if you are smart as a leader, you see someone honest. You see someone telling you the truth. All right? Help the person. And you can tell the person this. Delight yourself in the Lord. And all of a sudden, you delight yourself in the Lord, he changes the desires of your heart. Amen. I don't know how many times I have seen this happen. Let's take one particular instance. In this church alone, we've had more than one testimony. We've had numerous testimonies of people who smoke packs of cigarettes. Some of them, it just overwhelms me. I can't over-exaggerate. You know, it's more than 20 sticks, more than 40 sticks, you know, a day, a few packs a day. And all of a sudden, they came to a place where the desire for that cigarette is no more. God gave them the desires, or God took away the desire when they delight themselves in the Lord. And what I told them was this, all right? And this is where religion, even Christian religion, teaches the very opposite. We think that as long as you want to join this church, do what we do, say what we say, dress what we wear. All right? Shout amen, shout hallelujah. All right? And sound like a Christian. We don't care whether you are transformed inside or not. All right? Just don't do it outside and shame us. Now, that is not what God is after. God is after your heart. True transformation is not giving up your cigarette smoking for 1 week and then only to find the desires so strong, but you endure for 1 week. Vilpa, you know. 1 week, you endure. That is not true transformation. God does not want you, all right, struggling with your willpower, struggling your inward desires, like a little boy, the father says, stand up. Or the father says, sit down, rather, sit down. And he sat down. He didn't want to sit down, he wanted to stand up. I said, sit down, or else he sat down. And he told his friend, or he told his brother or sister, inside I'm still standing. See, that's not true transformation. God wants to give you the one too. Can I have a good amen? I think it was D.L. Moody years ago. A lady came to him and said, you know, they used to have like whirly dance, all right? Whirly dance, something like a whirly kind of dance. I think barroom dancing or whatever. And she says to him, I enjoy that dancing. And D.L. Moody, being the wise man of God that he is, not religious, but truly spiritual. He says this, you know what? And she says this, I know if I accept Christ, I must give up this barroom dancing or can-can dancing or whatever. You know can-can dancing? Some of you do the try-try dancing. You don't do can-can. So anyway, D.L. Moody said this. He says that, you know what? Accept Christ first. Because she saw the glory of Jesus. She saw the beauty of, and she wants to accept Jesus, but she don't want to be a hypocrite because, you know, she felt that she must give up this dancing. But D.L. Moody says, accept Christ first and dance all you want. The only thing was this, the moment you accept Christ, her desires change. The want-tos change. Now that's true transformation. Now when I teach in times past, when I teach about transformation, for example, in the area of cigarette, because we have such a success rate in this area, and even when I look around, it's amazing. Someone told me yesterday, I used this same illustration by the Spirit yesterday. I didn't plan to use this illustration of smoking. It just came to me yesterday. And I didn't know why, of all the areas of transformation, we talk about smoking. So what happened is that one of the ushers ran to me and said, Pastor, it's amazing you use the illustration. For the first time tonight, all right, we happened to walk downstairs and a lady was carrying the Bible smoking. And the moment she saw us, she didn't expect us to see us downstairs. You know, she put a cigarette from her, took the Bible and just covered her face. Now, I'm one of those that say, praise God, they still come. They still come. Because the church is not a place, all right, for perfect people. It never was. Jesus said, it is the sick that needs a physician. They that are well don't need a doctor. Amen. Since when we have this idea, all right, some people will have this, all right, you shame us. We don't like that kind of thing. Want to deal with you, all right? Deal with the root cause. Deal with the problem that is killing, you know, love the person. The reason we want the person free from smoking is because smoking kills. It kills. If God wants you to smoke, He'll make your nose point upwards. The holes will point upwards for sure, like a chimney. Amen? Pastor Prince, can I still smoke and go to heaven faster? Still can. Still can. Of course. It is the blood of Jesus, not whether you smoke or not, that you go to heaven. All right? And the thing is this. God loves you and God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to smell the roses. Literally smell the roses. People who smoke a lot cannot smell anymore. And God don't want you to die before your time. God does not want you to die before your time. God loves you much too much. Even though you don't love yourself. So how does the transformation come? You don't even want to stop smoking. So this is what I said, and this is where I got into trouble some time ago. Not with those people who are smoking. They got set free. Got trouble through friendly fire. Friendly fire can be quite painful. But must never fire back. Amen. I teach this. In the body of Christ, you know, when we are sick, we confess what? By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. When we are poor, we confess what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or God supplies all my needs, right? We don't confess the present symptom. We don't confess the present problem. We confess, like Abraham, call those things that are not as though they are. And then the supply will be there. Like God. God excites faith like this. God saw darkness in Genesis 1. God didn't say, wow, so dark. It'll become even dark, isn't it? God saw the darkness and God called what He wanted. What did God want? Light. So God says, light be! And He saw the light. It was good. So in life, God wants us to be like Him. You want something to happen? Speak it and you will see it. All right? Don't speak what is in front of you. All right? Don't speak what is in your body. Don't speak what you see in your savings account. Call what you want to happen. And that comes to people with power, and you are people with power. God has made you a king, and where a word of a king is, there is power. So, when you are sick, you confess healing. When you are broke, you confess provision. When you sin, that's not the standard teaching of the church. We are told to confess sin. Now, Pastor Prince, there is 1 John 1:9. You know, it's amazing how the church built a whole doctrine in just one verse in the New Testament. 1 John 1:9. And 1 John 1:9 is talking about if we homologio, confess. Homologio means to say the same thing about God about our sins. And what did God say about all our sins? We are all forgiven according to the riches of His grace. And that's true confession. Instead of that, we confess that sin, and that sin becomes stronger. And we confess the sin, we commit a sin, so it becomes stronger. And the more we commit a sin, the more we confess it, the more we confess it, the more we sin. The more we sin, the more we confess it. It's a vicious cycle. Whereas in other areas we have victory, but in this area we are going through the cycle because we don't see it. Would you like to know what happened to these people? They all of a sudden, God gave them the desire, and not only that, some of them, or one particular person, cannot even stand the smell. I know this person. Today this person is a leader in our church. That person cannot even stand the smell of smoke. Used to be a heavy chain smoker every day. Now cannot even stand the smell of smoke. Feel like vomiting. I think that's transformation. What do you say? All right? Well, now, what brought them to this place? All right? This is a teaching. When you light up your cigarette, say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Word. All right? Lord, I thank you. You are still with me. You never leave me nor forsake me. Now, it's against all that religion will teach you. Religion says the moment you light up, God left. Because God cannot stand the smell of smoke. All right? God left. You are alone now. And this idea people have, no, God is against me, God is now angry with me, but you know what, I'm in bondage, I need to puff. And they are more discouraged, now that they feel that they failed God, they puff even more. Oh, Pastor Prince, if you preach like that, when people want to puff even more, now, you know something, whether I preach this or not, people will still puff if they want to puff. It's got nothing to do with the sermon. The sermon is trying to help people who puff, to find a way out. And the way out is this, to realize who you are. And even when you puff, you light up cigarettes, say, I am the righteousness of God. Now, don't say it, alright, like, you know, in front of people, you know why I'm still righteous of God, that kind of thing. There's no sincerity. You're not delighting yourself in the Lord. You know you're not doing that. You're just finding an excuse. But if you really want transformation, now you're going to kill your life, you're going to go to heaven faster, alright, that's another story altogether. But if you want true transformation, like even when there's no one around, say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, you are still with me, you never leave me, you never forsake me, Lord. You see this bondage I have, but thank you that you're still with me. Thank you, Lord. You're still with me, Lord. Thank you that you never leave me. All right? Now, the person is confessing the word of God. Is it truth? That's the power of truth. Sanctify them by your truth. And this person is looking for separation from the addiction. Inside out, not just outwardly. All right? There are people who throw away the cigarette, all right? And then only to go through the weeds to find out where the cigarette is true. All right? Or they threw a packet, then they drive 1-2 miles, they come back again to try to find the packet. I see people nodding their head. That is not deliverance. Okay? So, you know what? Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't worry about trying to break free first. Delight yourself in the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you. You are with me. You still love me, Lord. After all this time, you still love me. In spite of my bondages, you still love me. Don't forget, Jesus loved the leper with all his leprosy before Jesus cleansed him. All right? Jesus did not say, you clean yourself, then I'll love you. The leper will never be clean. So we must know leprosy is a type of disease, a type of addiction, a type of sin that we cannot free ourselves from. And, you know, you just delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I thank you that you never leave me. Praise you, Lord. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Now, most people don't do that. They don't do that. You know what? The devil will come and say, how can you say that? You're a hypocrite. All right? The devil is a hypocrite. You are not. Because a hypocrite will not confess God's word. The devil will say, you're such a hypocrite. How can you say it? Because he's afraid. He's afraid because you are confessing the truth. He never leaves you. What do you think? You think he left you just because you light up one cigarette? He says, I'll never leave you. And study the word never in the Greek. Never is a double negative. Never, no way will I ever leave you. Because my son took that place where I have to leave him. So that I'll never leave you. He took your place so that I'll never leave you. Amen. Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not only will God not leave you, he will not forsake you. Amen. Come on, we got people, friends in the world last time. When we do wrong, they still don't leave us. You think God is any less than them? Amen. So even when you light up, all right, so delight yourself in the Lord first. I know everything inside you. Everything religious around you will tell you you're a hypocrite. How can you talk to God when you're smoking? How can you talk to God? That's the time to talk to God. Amen. So Lord, I'm in bondage to this thing, Lord, and I cannot stop. But you can. I cannot, you can. Thank you, Lord. I cannot, you can. Remember I taught that? How many with me when I thought that? I cannot, you can. And say this, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't smoke, okay? I'm just going through the motion. And this is what happens. One testimony goes like this. And it doesn't mean immediately, you know, the deliverance comes. They throw away the cigarette. No, sometimes, I don't know how long. Some of these people, takes a few days, some a few weeks, but they keep on applying this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? All of a sudden, there was one particular testimony. All of a sudden, they felt power rising up on the inside. One day they're smoking and say, Lord, I thank you, you never leave me alone. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's what I tell them to confess. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. One day, when they're confessing, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, something rises up on the inside. It's powerful. And they look at a cigarette. And you know what? They say that, this is stupid. And the cigarette is gone. And then the right testimony is about now how when they smell cigarette, they feel like puking. And all begins with people saying, people will take advantage of this, they'll go crazy. No, this is a true gospel that transforms. Now, of course, if you don't want transformation deep down in your heart, you know, when people see you smoking, you say, well, you know what, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not confessing from your heart. You're trying to tell your friends that you're still okay when you know you're not. I'm talking about between you and God, not for anybody's ears. Delight yourself in the Lord first, and He will give you the desires of your heart. How do you know which career to choose? All right, take time. Take time to come to church, to worship the Lord. Take time to read the Word. Take time, because the Word will separate all the wrong desires away from you. Take time to talk to the Lord. Lord, I just love you. Lord, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. You are such a good God. You love me. You never stop loving me. Delight yourself in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You want me to be accurately guided more than I want to be guided. You want me to hear your voice more than I want to hear your voice. You love me more than I love myself. Talk to Him. This is delighting yourself in the Lord. And the more you delight yourself in the Lord, all right, He will give you the desires of your heart. All of a sudden, you just know between A and B, two career choices. All of a sudden, you were so excited about A at first. But after you delight yourself in the Lord, and I can't tell you at what point. It's very individual. But you know what's going to happen? If A is not God, all of a sudden the desire for A shrinks. It sort of dissipates. And then the desire for B will start growing. That's how you know it's God. God does not lead many a times like this. My son, I would have you move to the East Coast. I would have you move to the East Coast. Many a times God speaks in the first person, not the third person. Whereas this third person, I want you to move. Notice that? Well, if the Lord and you are one spirit, and the Bible says it is so, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, He's not going to speak to you like this. I want you, like from outside. He'll be speaking from inside. You'll just feel like saying, you know, I feel like moving house. And it's God. And how do you know it's God for sure? Because every time you worship God, every time you come into His presence, every time you delight in Him, that desire gets stronger. Or the desire gets weaker, you know it's not God. Amen. Lord, how do I know? Is it Robert? Is it Robert the one, or is it Bobby? Both is it Bob. Shafan, but Robert is Bob. All right, there are two Bobs after you. So you got two Bob hair. And you do not know which Bob. God, which Bob is it? These two Bobs are also very nice. I went out dating with them and I don't know which one to marry. It's the same thing. Which one, all right, seems to stay in your heart when you worship God, when you spend time in the Word, as you draw close to the Lord, as you delight yourself in the Lord, you find that thoughts that come to you during worship, or thoughts that come to you in the Word, thoughts that come to you, you know, some of the strongest guidance I have is when I'm confessing the Word or reading the Word, a thought would come. Sometimes I'm not even thinking about that person or whatever, and I know that God wants me to minister to the person. Especially when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, the desires are pretty safe. But the unsafe desires are when you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. Now, please don't get this idea. There's one particular, I think, denomination that says this. And this church also teaches that. If you want to do God's will, just do the opposite of your desire. Isn't it sad? And we have this impression, you know, if we really do God's will, He will send us to a atap house or a hut house in Timbuktu somewhere. You know, we never say God will send me to Hawaii. Never. You know, we don't hear preaching like, if you really follow God's will, all right, I'm so sorry, you may have to move out from your three-room HDB flat to a bigger place when you do God's will. All right? And you know what? It'll be supernatural. We don't say things like that. We always say things like, you know, you must say, if God, you send me to Timbuktu, I'll go to Timbuktu. I don't say Africa anymore because my services are broadcasted in Uganda. So... So God says, go to India. Alright? And these are places that are beautiful places. If God puts the desire in your heart to go to such a place, let me tell you this. If God put a desire in your heart and you are a Westerner, alright? You can even live among the samurais. I'm telling you, it's amazing, it's happening. I don't care how famous you are. I was invited for the preview. I've seen the preview. You know, true missionaries will tell you, all right, they live among the Japanese or among the Chinese, like Hudson Taylor. They pick up the language, they love the language, they love the culture, they love the food. If you are called as a Westerner to China and you cannot stand Chinese food, you are not called. As simple as that, because God will give you desires for noodles. God will give you desires of fishball and pork and severed cats. Amen. You cannot tell me that God has called you and you know what, church? Come on. You have met people like that who love these nations. Amen. Pastor Joshua and I know of a great man of God, a Westerner, all right, who has moved over to Thailand because for him, Thailand is the place. We have met people who come to Singapore, they are from Arizona or LA, and they say, there's no country like Singapore. Now keep your reservations to yourself, okay? But that's what they say. So what I'm trying to say is this, if God calls you, He'll put the desires in your heart. The love will be there. There's no such thing as, you know, Pastor Prem, I'm scared to tell God, whoever you want me to marry, I marry. I scared, you know, because he might give me someone that nobody wants. You have such faith in the loving heart of your Father. I'm sure God is impressed with your trust in Him. God loves you more than you love yourself, bro and sis. Amen. So, transformation is not something like, you know, I wish we had heard this kind of preaching. In many cases, when you do God's will, alright, He tells you, I'm sorry, you cannot drive this kind of car anymore. I'm sorry, you cannot live in this kind of house anymore. I'm sorry, you cannot be, you know, as shabby as you were before. You must carry yourself like an ambassador of heaven. Amen. We're wasting our time. No. The worst case scenario, you know. And we are taught by mainstream Christendom, religious Christianity, we are taught to doubt the desires of your heart. Now, it is true, if somebody is living like the devil, I even doubt the person is born again. Alright? I would not encourage the person to follow his heart. But if somebody is delighting in the Lord, your heart is safe to follow. Pastor Prince, have you not read? Please enlighten me. Have you not read in Jeremiah, it says the heart is desperately wicked. Yes, I have read that, brother. But have you read the context? There is a context in all the scripture verses. There is a context. That is from Jeremiah talking about the children of Israel. All right. And God is telling them man is incurable in Isaiah. All right. Man is a sinner true and true. All right. Man cannot save himself. That's why man needs a savior. Man, the flesh cannot be improved. You cannot have self-improvement. All right. And from a sinner become a righteous person. You cannot. The flesh is corrupt true. All the way from the least in this congregation, all right, all the way to the leaders, the speaker included. The flesh cannot be trusted at any time. In the flesh dwells no good things, so says the greatest apostle that ever lived. He says, in my flesh, not our flesh. He says, in his flesh dwells no good thing. So church, we cannot improve on that. Right? Come on. So the only way is what? To rely on the new man that's created in Christ. Alright? You are not your flesh. You are a new creation. Your flesh lives in you, but you are not your flesh. In fact, God refused to look at you in the flesh. God's eyes look at you in a new creation. And you are awesome in Christ, in God's eyes. You know, God sees things that are born of the Spirit. That's why God told Abraham, take your son, your only son. But Abraham had two sons. One is by a servant girl named Hagar, and the boy's name was Ishmael. How come God told Abraham, take your son, your only son? Doesn't God know? Should we enlighten God that Abraham had two sons? No, no. One son is born of human effort. God didn't recognize that. God only recognized what he put in his life. Same thing. Once you are born again, God sees you in Christ and always sees you in Christ. God does not see your flesh. That's the encouragement to us. All right? Not to indulge the flesh, but to realize when our flesh rises up, praise God, God views me in Christ. Christ is the measure of my acceptance. Can I have a good amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are awesome in Christ. Amen. You are. Woo! I'm talking to awesome people in Christ. And that's why Christianity, you know, the kind of religious Christianity always expect the worst of people, the worst of people. And that's what Jeremiah is saying. The heart is desperately wicked. The heart that's not saved. But my Bible says that God, in the new birth, God removes the heart of stone, the heart that's desperately wicked. And then God replaces it with the heart of flesh. And that's why, all right, you can walk with a group of your colleagues for lunch, and all of a sudden you pass by a lady pushing, an old lady pushing something, your friends can go on, and you stop and you look at the lady and says, ah, Paul, I need some help. All right, what is, your heart is soft. You got a fleshly heart. Your friend can walk, pass by that. You used to pass by also. Nowadays, you are different. I mean, you stop. You feel deeper. Those who feel deeper can love deeper and enjoy life deeper. Amen. The rest of us, before we are saved, we are walking zombies. Inside, not alive. Outside, alive. The heart beating. Do. Then Jesus came and says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means what? We are all walking dead. The night of the walking dead. We're all walking dead. Only the heart is beating. So Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. Alright, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Goodness is just incidental, rather. A byproduct. Amen? So you cannot quote, the heart is desperately wicked. And it's quotations like this that make an average believer start doubting their heart. But my Bible says that even a young Christian in the book of 1 John, the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things concerning those who seduce you. Those who are antichrist spirit. You know, even a young Christian, when they hear false teaching, something inside them go there. You know, something inside that red light goes off. Even a young Christian, they don't know how to put words to it. And all of us were there before, until we learned to drown that. The Bible says you have an anointing from the Holy One that abides in you. The same anointing teaches you of all things. You need not any man teach you. As the same anointing inside you teach you all things, and it's truth and it's no lie, you shall abide in Him. We all have that anointing inside us. Can I have a good amen? And the way God leads us, the way God speaks to us, church, listen carefully. You and the Lord, you are one spirit. You are tight. You are really tight. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Come on. Not even two spirits. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. Now, you have a body. Oh, we touch your body, your house. Wow, different kind of sizes of this house. Got different color, different painting, different kind of makeup. All right, different kind of condition. Right? But this is not you. This is not Pastor Prince. Amen. Come on. The real me and you is inside the spirit. Now, God is a spirit. God made us in His image. If God looked like our house, He looked different in everyone else. Right? Not, so this is not you. This is your house. Now, you're a spirit. God's a spirit. Once Christ comes in you, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when God speaks, notice one spirit. All the wisdom is His, but your spirit is still you. So when God speaks today, it sounds like you. I feel like going and talk to that sister over there. I don't know why. The whole day today, I'm thinking about that sister. All right? I don't know what she's going through, but I feel that God wants me to just go to her and tell her how much God loves her. Go to the sister. When you say something, how do you know? You know? It's not like this sister over here. All right? Oh, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Lord, I'm hearing, Lord. And they read stories like Samuel. In the Old Testament, all this Old Testament, the Old Testament is true because God was outside. God was never inside until the day of Pentecost. Jesus' blood made us so clean that God can come and stay inside. See, the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats cannot make them so clean. The Holy Spirit comes on them and the Holy Spirit leaves. And God had to speak from outside. So God would say, outside, I want you to go here. Notice third person, I want you. But once God is inside, all right, it'll be like this. Today I just feel like taking a walk by the beach. Spend time with the Lord praying in tongues. I have time to drive down there. What am I doing? These thoughts. Go back down the road. Amen? All right? And as you go back home, and all of a sudden, you're so busy, something happened, you rush here, rush there. You know, you wish you had taken time at the beach to relax and pray in tongues because the crisis happened and you're not prepared. Or something like that. And it comes so supernaturally. The small voice. You know, God told Elijah, all right, God, a whirlwind came. God was not in the wind. An earthquake shattered the mountain. But God was not in the earthquake. All right? A fire burned and God was not in the fire. And then there was a still, small voice. And God's voice came to Jeremiah or Elijah like that. Hey man, I call it voiceless knowing. He was like, I heard God's voice. All right, many a times I tell you the truth. Mine is not voice. If you look for voices, there'll be voices. I would encourage you hear voices from outside, you better test it. Hey, yes. I want you to get up from your hind and go over here and marry so and so. Do not marry the first Robert. Marry the second Robert. And the second Robert happens to be a robot that you can never love, no expression, nothing. And then divorce in a short time. So God cares for you, God knows. And that voice, the devil, voice from outside, is always dangerous. Always. All the cults have been started by people who said they had a vision, they had a voice from outside. Now, Pastor Prince, don't you believe in visions and all that? Not the normal way God speaks. God speaks just by inward knowing. The Spirit bears witness. You just, you know, you feel like, today I feel like I'm drinking more water. You better drink more water. Today I just feel like, you know, I just feel like I need more exercise. You better drink, you know, exercise. Today I feel like not eating this food. I don't feel like going here today. I feel like going there. I can't tell you how many times. Recently I was in Japan, bringing my daughter again for her holiday. And after that, you know, we walked at the airport. And all of a sudden I just felt like eating in one of the restaurants there because it's my final shot at sashimi before I take my flight home. And I love sashimi. I love Japanese food. And my wife is not hungry. She was with Jessica, and apparently she still wants to shop around a little bit. So I said, yeah, is it okay? I just go in. I look at the restaurants. I just felt a desire. I think I want to eat. All right? I want to eat one of these kind of, like, you know, they have a sushi bar. You know, and the guy, the chef, you know. Sumimasen! You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just love it, man. Toro is the tuna. Okay, anyway. If you speak softly, they don't understand. You must say, Toro. You cannot say that. They won't understand that. I say, Toro! Oh, boy! So, there were, you know, in that one at Narita Airport, I don't know if you know this or not, I was told later on there are 26 sushi bars in Narita Airport. All right, restaurants having sushi bars. So of all, and it was all in one line. I just felt like going to one. So I went to that one. And I ordered, man. I ordered, I think, the most ever. You know why? It's my last shot. Singapore one is not as authentic as, you know, the ones in Japan. So and I've been to Japan a few times, right? So I know that theirs is really fresh, really good. So I ordered quite a few. Wow, man. And there was no one else in the restaurant except one family, one corner. So I ate and ate and ate at a sushi bar. Then all of a sudden I saw this and the family got up and they looked Singaporean. 26 restaurants. They got up. I said, my goodness, I've never seen a Singaporean yet in this airport. This is the first. They walked to the cashier. I see the man and his wife pointing my direction. I say, oh no, don't tell me they are paying and they know me. All right, so I got up and the wife waved. So I went over, you know, to be nice and polite. I said, you know me? I said, oh yes, we've been to your service, Pastor Prince. And they paid for my food, and I was so embarrassed because I ate them. I was prepared to pay for myself, okay? And I said, fancy, I mean, amazing how, I mean, of all the people, you are the first Singaporean I met, and you know, you know who I am. It's amazing, you know? And the son is about in his early 20s. Yeah, Pastor Prince. No, he didn't say that until I said this. I got to know the wife. The wife is a Christian. She's a believer. I'd like to introduce you to my husband, all right? So I shook hand with the husband, and the man says, I've been to your church once. And the wife told me, he's not a believer yet. And he says, and Pastor Prince, I don't know. You are the first speaker that I hear that I don't sleep. He says, what do? You memorize your sermons or what? So I start telling him about the Holy Spirit, about the reality of God. And he looked at me, he just listened, you know. And I mean, the man paid for me. So now I'm giving him spiritual food. That's why I preached to him for a while. And listen, this is what happened. I look at him at one point, and you know, it's like he's not like one part about the love of God. But you know, he said, just felt. Then I look at him. I says, do you know something? I said, of all the restaurants here, all right, God made me walk into this restaurant. All right, because God wants you saved. And he looked at me. He says, and there's a son. The son was beside him. The son is a believer also. The son says, yes, Pastor Prince. And do you know something? There are 26 restaurants, sushi bar here. And the father looked at him. I said, for sure God wants you. That Sunday, they were in church. Amen. Now, my point in all these lengthy stories, all right, is to tell you, sometimes you just feel like, I want to eat sashimi. All right, there are so many restaurants. I just feel like, you know, this is the one. I just, you know, how many know that God leads you as natural as like that? As that? It's not strict law. What shall it be? Sushi or sashimi? Which bar, Lord? Which bar? Tell me, Lord. Tell me. Speak to me. You shall fast today. Get thee behind me. It's not like a voice. All right? Many Christians are looking for voice. And I know because you read the Old Testament and God spoke. Samuel. Samuel. Someone got up and says, all right. Your servant here, speak, Lord. The voice is from outside. But don't forget, Old Testament. All right? God is outside. Today, God is inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's how God leads you. And how will you know it? Because there'll be a peace about it. And I know that all of us are still learning to walk in the Spirit, learning to walk with God. But listen carefully. All right? The way to strengthen that, to know whether it's God or not, is to delight yourself in the Lord. During worship time, worship God. And all of a sudden, when you worship God, a desire for something will come. I mean, God even tell you, or bring somebody to mind. Don't just say, oh, I cannot be thinking about this person. All right? Stop and just worship God and start, you know, just listening to God, what God wants to say. Amen. Times when you are in the Word, times when you're praying in tongues, times when you are worshiping God, when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, the thoughts, the desires, especially, all right, that comes to you, most of the time, it's from God. Amen? One strong way to make that even stronger is to pray in tongues a lot. You build yourself in your most holy faith. Because when you pray in tongues, you remind yourself God is inside. The river is from inside. Christ within. It makes you conscious of Christ within. In fact, sometimes the whole day you are conscious of the guidance of the Spirit within. And at the end of the day, you cannot but feel loved. You feel the Lord leads you. And many times when God leads you, listen carefully. Some of you are so troubled. So many things, you know. You're worried about this next month, this tomorrow, your house payments or this and that. You got so many things going on. And when you pray in tongues and you quieten yourself down and you listen to the prompting of the inside, sometimes, many a times, I find the Lord will just tell you to do one thing. First, just one thing. He'll just say, all right, leave everything and take a walk with me in the garden. A real gardener. My house got no garden. All right, so I find a garden somewhere. Or take a walk with me by the beach. I was walking one time like that with the Lord, praying in tongues. He just said, walk with me by the beach. And so I went to the beach, drove to the beach. Pray in tongues by the beach. Just spend time with the Lord. Just enjoying Him. And I had a few troubles going on in my life. And then all of a sudden, I walked, you know the jetty that goes out? I walked at the jetty there praying in tongues, and all of a sudden I saw a bird that flew closer and closer to me, closer and closer and closer and closer to me. And I saw a guy who was fishing down there say, "Oh, it's an eagle, eagle, eagle." It was an eagle. All right, it's a beautiful eagle, and it spread its wings. It was a beautiful eagle, and it went around my head. Round and round and round a few times. And I heard the Lord says, "I'm renewing your youth like the eagles." And the Lord says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." It went around a few times. God is my witness. And they find, and the guy down there, there was one guy with his friend looking at the thing. Right over my head. I'm telling you the truth. Not right over my head. It's real up there. But it wasn't like a big circle around. It was just around my head a few times, you know. And then it flew right towards Indonesia. All the way. I keep on looking at it until it became a small speck. Flew right into Indonesia. Never heard of East Coast having an eagle. And God spoke to me. And many a times He will tell you to do things one thing at a time. He will tell you, all right, today, just obey me in fear not. Just fear not. Anything happen, just fear not. Your wife calls you, something happening, fear not. Today, my only obedience is fear not. And the Spirit will tell you things like that. And all of a sudden, you find that all those little things that bother you, the little foxes that spoil the vine, the joy, you find that sometimes God resolves them, sometimes they don't seem so big anymore. That's why we need the Lord every single day. You need to have a dynamic relationship with God. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you find that He puts His desires in your heart. And don't be afraid. He has your interests, your best interests at heart. All right, so that's one principle. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Before we close, I want to tell you real quick something else about the Bible. As your sin, it's all opposite. The danger in the body of Christ today, all right, they don't hear teaching and preaching. When Pastor Joshua goes overseas and preach, one of the first things he does, one of his first lessons, right, is to show the contrast between old and new. Do you know something? That even some doctors of divinity, are so-called, and all that, don't really understand the contrast. What they do is that they understand comparison. In other words, they say that under law, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, even you look at a woman to lust, all right, they actually built on the same truth. But actually, when Jesus said that, He was telling them what the Pharisees had watered down. He was actually telling them what the law really meant. The law did not mean just for people to go into bed. That's adultery. If you look at a woman or a man to lust in your heart, that's adultery already. But the Pharisee says only when you go to bed, that's adultery. So Jesus showed what His Father meant to bring everyone into despair. To the conclusion, to the inevitable conclusion, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. That's why Jesus raised up the standard, not just raised up, restored the original standard of the law. It's not just murder someone with a knife or whatever that makes it murder. It is hatred in your heart. It's already murder. Now, who of us is spared? So Jesus, in that particular, and that's what people, they said, well, if law was like this, grace is even more, you know, they missed the point. There are opposites. If you tell me today, Pastor Prince, when I do good, I get good. When I do bad, I get beat. Then I ask you the question, how different is that kind of Christian life compared to those under law? Then why in the world, pray tell me, why in the world did Jesus come and die for us on the cross? Did Jesus change anything? When the Bible says Jesus inaugurated, He took the cup and says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Is it really new? Or are we actually under old covenant enhanced? Is it really revised standard version of the old covenant? Tell me, you know, if it's new and this is old, what is really new? Because old says do good, get good, do bad, get beat. And religion, even Christian religion says, do good, get good, do bad, get beat. All right, if that is so, then why did Christ redeem us from the curse of the law? If the truth was told, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, all right, that can only mean something. When you break the law, there is no curse. Not that we want to break the law. But praise be to God, we need to know to walk secure with God. Pastor Prince, no, that verse refers that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law when we keep the law. If we keep the law, there is no curse for Him to redeem us from. What taught you? Right? Amen. So I'm here to tell you that in the midst of your sin, delight yourself in the Lord. All right? Don't try to break away from the sin, because people teach you this. All right, religion will teach you, try to break away from the sin don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, then you have a relationship with God. Then you can walk in the Spirit. But the Bible says, walk in the Spirit first, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Delight yourself in the Lord first. Come to God as you are first. Amen. Religion will tell you, don't take a bath until you have cleansed yourself. That's what religion tells you. Jesus is the bath. You come to Him with all your nonsense as you are. He loves you. And then He will transform you. If He cannot, none of us can. But He more than can. If He cannot, none of us can. But He more than can. Amen. Are you listening, people? You know, one time Jesus went to a Pharisee's house, and the Bible tells us that a great sinner came. And probably she was a prostitute. And Jesus was sitting in the house of a man called Simon, the Pharisee. And he was a Pharisee. So Christ was sitting down there. The woman came and she wept at Jesus' feet, wiped his feet with her hair. All right. She kissed Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, as Simon was thinking these thoughts, if this Jesus is such a man of God, he will know what kind of woman this is. She was probably a prostitute. And how that Pharisee knows she's a prostitute, no one knows. Okay. Anyway. Said, if Jesus is such a man of God, he will know what kind of woman. So the woman was kissing his feet. And then Jesus says, Simon, I'll tell you a story. There were two debtors that owed this rich man some money. The first one owed him $10,000. The other one owed him $10. When they both can't pay him, he forgave them both. Which of the two will love him more? Simon says, of course, the one who owed him $10,000. Jesus says, you see, I come to your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has not ceased to weep at my feet and wipe my feet with her hair. In other words, you never gave me the customary, like today, people come to our house, we give them a drink. You didn't even give me the drink. You didn't even treat me with respect. But she has treated me with such respect until now. Alright, you know why she loved me so much? Because the one that is forgiven much will love much. This lady knows she's forgiven much, that's why she loved me much. Alright, the Pharisee has no sense of how much God has forgiven him because he's too busy saving himself. Alright, then Jesus turned around to the lady. Now watch this. He says, woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now watch this. The pronouncement that her faith has saved her. Her faith has healed her. If she has disease, that's what the word save means. It's the same word as heal. Whatever was wrong in her life is now saved. Now question is this. Did Jesus pronounce that before she worshiped or after she worshiped him? After. And yet we have, you know, when we come to church, for example, the worship leader says, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. We don't feel like lifting our hands because we did something wrong just now or yesterday or whatever. Or on the way we quarrel with our husband, our wife. And you don't feel like lifting your hands. And yet, this is what the Bible says. Come to Jesus with all your nonsense, with all your anger towards your husband. Come to Jesus, worship Him. But religious teaching will tell you, you're a hypocrite if you raise your hands. And that's a teaching of the devil. The devil don't want to raise your hands because the devil knows that's where the transformation is. You know, when you're angry with your husband, you come to church, you're both down there, you know, but you don't want to talk to one another. All right? And then when the worship starts, none of you, neither one of you, raise your hands. Why penalize God for being angry with one another? You know? So, what am I saying? Pastor Prince, are you saying that we lift our hands like hypocrites? No, you're not a hypocrite. You are lifting your hands, surrender. You know what surrender means? All right? When someone says, stick him up. You know? You surrender. Surrender means, I cannot change myself. I cannot change my husband. I surrender to you. It's not hypocrisy. It's the greatest thing you can do. And you are pleasing God when you do it. But religion will tell you, hypocrite. All right? The devil will shout to you, hypocrite, because the devil knows that's where the power is. It's from him. It's in his presence. And the devil is trying to separate you from God's presence. Amen. So lift your hands anyway. When worship leader says, lift your hands, you lift your hands and you worship the Lord. And the Lord will transform you. All of a sudden, you worship the Lord, you forget your troubles. And all of a sudden, He put love in your heart for your husband. All of a sudden, He make you see what a silly boy he is. Because after all, he's just a man. You feel soft towards him. And the husband also, when you release your hand, darling, sweetie pie, apple pie, mango pie, mango steam pie, all that kind of thing will come flowing again. Amen? Jesus still knows how to turn the waters in marriage into wine. But it must be Jesus. It cannot be your effort, you know. It's not Jesus plus you. No, lift your hand. This is surrender. Amen.
You don't know what you're missing when you stop worshiping God. You don't know what you're missing when you stop delighting yourself in the Lord. Because all religion is telling you, how can you raise your hands when you've done this? How can you raise your hands? That's the time you must come to Jesus. Amen. That woman worshiped Jesus first and then heard his pronouncement of blessing. It's as if all of you search your heart right now. And if there's any sin in you, all right, right now, just bring out your sin before we worship God. All right, we'll take some time right now, 5 minutes. Bow your heads, close your eyes. There was a church I came from that did that. You know, by the time we all dig out, no more heart to worship, you know. You see all kinds of, you dig up. Well, I tell you, the devil can you dig up from 4 years old, 5 years old. You stole that marble from the Apex shop, man. You all come back all of a sudden. You know, it's like at the end, you're so sin conscious. How to lift your hands? I wish somebody told me that woman worshiped Jesus first with all her sins. And then Jesus says, woman, your faith has saved you. After she worshiped, she came to the bath as she was, but left transformed. He is the bath. The devil tell all kinds of tricks. The devil try even religion to stop you from coming to Jesus. Come to him as you are. The Bible doesn't say God gives you power, then you come to him. No, you come to him, God gives you power. To as many as received him first. To them, God gives power to become sons of God. You don't know what you're missing when you don't lift your hands. I'm telling you this, you know, if the guy beside you lifts his hands, he gets something that you don't get. Would you like to see what you get? How many of you know that, again, contrast. Old Testament, if you come to God and you make a mistake in thought, word, or deed, if you sin, either in thought, word, or deed, you know what happens to you? If you're in God's presence, all right, especially in the holy place, tong tong chang. Amen. It's not God's fault. It's not the fault of the sun. When the sun comes out, that the mud is no more mud. There is no such thing as mud when the sun comes out. There's only clay, hardened clay. Mud cannot survive in the presence of the sun. It's not the sun's fault. Amen. It's the nature of the mud. It's the mud's fault. Amen. So when the sun of righteousness comes in our life, there'll be healing. We just have to expose ourselves. But how can we, with sin, expose ourselves today in God's presence? There is a difference now in the Old Testament. All right. The more they come to God, chances are they might die. It's all because of Nadab and Abihu. Look at this, Leviticus. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, the high priest, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I'll appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Now listen carefully, God says, don't anyhow just come. So the high priest even comes what? Once a year into God's presence. Because in the Old Testament, all right, God in his love says, don't come near me. God in his love says that. All right? Because God is so perfect. God is so complete. We are so, you know, it's like he got so much electricity. We'll just perish. And he will say, don't come near me in his love. But today, it's a different ballgame altogether because of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus carried all our sins, so in the presence of God, the veil was torn when Jesus died. Why? The Holy of Holies was exposed to show us the same blood that tore the veil, removed all our sins once and for all for us to step into the Holy of Holies. It's all in the one stroke in the work of Jesus. Amen? And this is what happens in Hebrews 10. The Bible says, therefore, brothers, having boldness, say boldness, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How? By a new. Why is it called a new way? You ask an average Christian, why is it a new way? Well, we still come to God, what, with reverence or... But it's a wrong kind of reverence. It's a fear, not the true reverence. Like, but no, you don't have to come to God like that. The Bible says you come to God by a new and living way. Shout, living way. Now look up here. In the old covenant, the contrast is this. Before Jesus died, the more someone comes to God, the danger is what? He might make a mistake and die. Today is the opposite. New and living way when you enter the holiest. Every time, in other words, listen carefully. Out there, away from God's presence, is death. All kinds of death in all its forms and manifestations. The more you come to God today, is a living way. It's a new and living way. The more you come, the healthier you become. The more you come, the more you live. The more you worship in His presence, there is life. It's a secret place of protection. It's the place of the Most High where no evil can touch you. It's a different thing altogether. And why is it that we can be so comfortable in God's presence? Because of what Jesus did. because of how precious the blood of Jesus. Boldness to enter because of the blood of Jesus. So church is a new and living way. Contrast, yes, what an awesome opposite. The Old Testament is, lest he die. Here is a new and living way. Old Testament, the more you come, chances are you might die because you might make a mistake. All right, new and some people still believe that. That's why they shun God's presence. When a communion cup comes, they don't take communion. And you know what? You rob yourself of the health that's available in communion. You rob yourself of the wholeness because of wrong teaching. And I was like you last time. I attend a church that says, if you're not right with God, if there is sin in your life, do not partake of the Lord's Supper. Just let it pass you by. So for many years, I just let it pass by. Because I'm not stupid. I mean, you know, if you tell me I must clean myself without sin, then I can partake. All right, you know what? Better not touch. That's not the teaching. That wasn't the problem in the early church in Corinthians. The reason they were dying and is because they did not take advantage. They didn't partake of the Lord's Supper, releasing their faith in what Jesus did. They failed to take advantage of it. Amen. Now, in closing, I want you to turn to your Bibles so that at least you know your Bible is used. Leviticus. What a way to end. In the book of Leviticus. Leviticus. Another contrast is, now this is going to, if you get the revelation, I want you to shout, okay? This is a revelation. When the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to this, let me tell you this, I nearly shouted. My heart was just bursting forth. I'm telling you, you know, let me read to you first. Like I said, some of you, when God, you know, worship leaders say, let's lift our hands, you know, you just, well, you know, you don't worship the Lord. No one gets robbed except you, trust me. All right? Let me say this nicely. You don't worship God, huh? There are lots of angels that do. You worship actually for your own benefit. And I'm going to tell you what's the benefit right now. Again, another contrast. All right, there's a lot of contrast. The forgiveness in the old is temporal. The forgiveness in the new is eternal. The priesthood in the old is temporal, Aaronic priesthood. Jesus' Melchizedek priesthood is forever. That means it keeps on blessing. Now, another contrast is here. This is beautiful. Leviticus 21. All right? And the Lord, verse 16, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, now, before everyone says, I want to get personal. Say, I want to get personal. Okay, because what I'm about to read, I don't want to get personal, okay? Listen to stay with me until the revelation comes, all right? Or else you start getting angry with God or what? Verse 16, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. That means you cannot worship God. All right, we know the bread here is a type of Christ. No one can come and worship God who has a defect. Wow. You know what? None of us can. Which goes to tell us that Aaron must be very good looking. Everything about him is symmetrical. Everything about him, no spot, no pimple, nothing. He must have been. Because God told him, any of your generation has defect, cannot come near to even offer the bread. Okay, what kind of defect? For any man who has a defect shall not approach. Alright, listen. A man blind. Now don't take it personal, okay? Blind man cannot come to God's presence. God expects perfection. Say perfection. Now listen, stay with it first. Don't, you know, say, how can God? Listen first, okay? We are reading with a veil. I'm going to unveil it in a while time. All right? A blind man. Or lame man also cannot. Anyone who has a marred face. Oh, all of us, man. All of us. I heard Usha say, not me. No? You sure that? Not all. Yeah, lah, you're saying you, lah. Stand up. Show them your face. You're wearing glasses, sister. Mud face include glasses. All of us. Mud face. Cannot. Well, mud faces cannot. All right, next one. Any limb too long? Anyone limb too long cannot come and worship God. God expects perfection. Come on. In the old covenant. Come on. Now, stay with me, church. Stay with me. This is going to be good. A man who has a broken foot or a broken hand. So, soccer players in those days, if they break their foot, they cannot come to church. They cannot worship. Now, I want to show you all this to show you what a privileged bunch we are. And we take it for granted. Even a worship leader says, let's raise our hands, and some of you don't even raise your hands. You don't realize the privilege that we have. I'm going to show you the privilege in the wild thing. All right? These kind of people cannot come to God. Hunchback! And I don't care whether you are from Clementi, Jerusalem, or Notre Dame. No hunchback can come to God in those days. Or a dwarf. Or a man who has a defect in his eye. Or eczema. Eczema, skin condition, you know. All right. Or scab. The last one. Even a eunuch. No man of the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Now, they cannot worship, but they can enjoy eating. All right, you watch this. Here it says, he has a defect. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy. All right? In other words, God is saying like this. He can't come and worship me. I want to show you the privilege of worship. All right? The deeper privilege of a Christian. Now, he can be like a Christian with all his faults. He can enjoy the bread, but he cannot come near and worship me. In those days, it's a privilege to worship God. Okay, watch this. God says, only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify them. Now, do you notice that God listed down? All right, hunchback, broken foot, eunuch, all those things. God put it down in detail. All right, that's what happens when you read the Bible and say, you see, God expects perfection. None of us. We don't realize the holiness of God. Now, I heard preaching like that and sit down there. Because I'm one of those limbs too long. Ooh. You know? And if you preach directly like this, you are preaching the law, and the law kills. Can you see how the law kills? All right, now watch the unveiling, like we learned last week. The unveiling. The Bible says, like the old covenant, under law, the more you come, the chances are you'll die. Under grace, the more you come, the more you live. The more you stay away, chances are death will fasten. The more you come, the more you live. Now watch this. Watch this. I asked the Lord this. I said, God, why, just say defect, okay, but you list down. Why did you list down? He said, son, that's my wisdom. I said, why? I put it down in detail so that everyone who is broken hand, broken foot, hunchback, have a problem, eczema, I want them to know today, when they come and worship me, I will make them whole. In other words, under the law, you must be whole before you come. Under grace, you come with your defect, and he, the perfection of perfections, makes you perfect. Oh, man! Now, watch this. I'll give you an example. This is an unveiling. Now, under law, unholiness is contagious. For example, the leper is unholy, and you cannot touch a leper. All right? Now, under grace, Jesus came and he brought grace. Under grace, Jesus, the clean, touched the unclean. So, under law, the unclean touching the clean will make the clean unclean. In other words, uncleanness, unholiness was contagious. But under grace, Jesus the clean touched the unclean, and the unclean became clean. And that's why we cannot preach like this. Be careful, don't go out there in the world. Don't join this company, that kind of lifestyle. We are robbing our church, our people, of having the boldness that holiness today is contagious. Instead of worrying the world will infect you, why don't you go and infect the world with Jesus? Why don't you be a contagious Christian? Be a super infector of Jesus and holiness. Hey man, we gotta tell our people, I mean, no point, all the salt is in the salt shaker, time to get out of the salt shaker. God wants the light to go out into the darkness. Amen. I'm not saying join a company that's definitely, you know, in sin or whatever. I'm talking about, we cannot tell people, oh, join only Christian companies. And all that. What's the point of light being among light? Light needs to be among darkness. Salt must be among corruption. God wants his people out there infecting the world with the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. Amen? So watch this, the contrast. Under law, uncleanness is contagious. I don't care how clean you are. You touch a leper, you become unclean. Under grace, Jesus reversed the whole thing. Under grace, the clean, touching the unclean become clean. The same thing. Under law, the more you come, chances are you might die. All right? Today, the more you come, is a new and living way. Stay away is more dangerous. Same thing. When you had a defect, all right, you cannot come. Today, the more you come, the more whole you become. Ladies, this is a secret to godly good looks. Because that's the reason why God lays down. This is why he told me. The reason I lays down for you is to let you know, for example, if someone suffers from eczema and the worship leader said, let's worship God, it's time for that person to lift his hands. Because today, through Jesus' blood, when you worship me first, I make you whole. If you are hunchback, you worship him, you'll be standing. Hallelujah. How many are glad God welcomes everyone with defect? All of us have defect. And that's why Jesus came. And the amazing thing, everyone, you know, it's like when I read that beautiful, one of our healing verses, you get to read is this. And great multitudes brought with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed. Maimed means a body part is missing. And the Bible says, and cast them at Jesus' feet. What a beautiful picture. No Hollywood movie can portray that. And the Bible says Jesus healed them. Even those who are lame, a maimed, got a new hand. No eyeball got eye. It's like amazing. One cue, all the paika and all the defect, the hunchback, the dwarf. And then the eunuch. And then Jesus on the mountain. Praise the Lord. He's looking at them. He's smiling. All right. In the Bible, they brought them all at Jesus' feet. He touched them. And this cue here, everyone is whole. I mean, I'm glad for the gospel. This is true transformation. Instead, we tell people, even sinners, all right, clean your life before you come to Jesus. What a lie of the devil. Who clean yourself before you take a bath? Go under the shower. Jesus is the shower. Come to him as you are. Don't wait to clean everything. You'll wait forever. Go round and round and round and round. Because you finish this one, the devil brings another one. You throw away this one, he brings another one. Come to Jesus and he'll remove it all. For when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. So when you blow it, church, all right, you don't know what to do. You find yourself in Zook. Sit down there. Let me just tell you this. There are young people who go through this kind of thing. You know something? When you walk into that place, Jesus didn't stay outside. I know some pastors told you that he stayed outside. You are joined to the Lord. You are one spirit. He's still there. And the devil is telling you this. Now you are drinking, all right? Don't listen to that inside, you know? Just do things outside. Get drunk, all right? Satisfy your flesh, all right? Drown with dancing and techno music. Just drown yourself. But you know what? Deep down, next day, you are still not satisfied. Because you know why? God wants you to have true satisfaction. These things can only give you outside, all right? Go on, come on. Blah, blah. People vomit in Japanese. Yamaha! Suzuki! You know? But church, listen. Alright? You know what? We gotta tell our people this. I know, people can say, well, Pastor Prince, you preach like that, people will take advantage of that. No, you know what? There are people still doing it. All over the place in the body of Christ. They just don't tell you, parents. They just don't tell you. You know what? If you're smoking or you're drinking, you can hold that thing and say, Lord Jesus, even now you're with me. And you love me. And you never leave me. Somewhere in that place, something about truth, it sanctifies. It separates. All of a sudden, you know what? You look around you. I remember some years ago, I went to Zook to drown my sorrows. Only been there once. I told Pastor Lawrence the other day, he said, oh, I go there many times last time before he was saved, okay? Remember that? I went there to drown my sorrow. And I wasn't a pastor at that time, years ago, still very young. And I thought I would drown my sorrow there. Sit down there,
order a drink. What do you want? Orange juice. Had no taste for alcohol. At that point in time, I was a bit too savory. You know, then I look around me, you know, I try to drown myself in sorrow. I don't know what was it, girlfriend problem or what, I forgot. I look around and look at all the people dancing, say, I'm going to dance. Then I look for a while, after all of a sudden, I don't know when it was, something rose up inside me with love and compassion for those who are dancing. They are lost. Say, they are lost. Look at them, they are dancing the night away and they are crying out for true love and they think they can find this in perversions, in sexual things and all that, and it's only temporal. Look at them, they are lost. They're crying out for Jesus. And I caught myself, hey, you're supposed to be backsliding. It's amazing. He is still there. You know what? I realized all of a sudden, he's still there. It was he who was talking to me. Well, I got up, I walked up. Never been back there again. Is he still there? So, you don't want to say yes right now. You don't want people to know that you know. Okay, anyway, listen, church. Right in the midst of the sin, listen to what I'm saying. Listen, I'm close with this. Right in the midst of that sin, if you can just turn to the Lord first, don't try to break away from your sin, put aside your sin, you'll wait forever. The Bible doesn't say, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then you can walk in the Spirit. Have a relation with God. No, it says, walk in the Spirit first, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So come to Jesus, talk to Him first. Delight yourself in some measure. Tell Him, I know you're still with me. I know you love me. I know that you'll never leave me. All right? Delight yourself. All of a sudden, all right, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the truth the devil is afraid for the average believer to receive. Amen, church? Now, personally, I'll tell you this. There is no trio like the trio you have in church. We have a high, the most high. Those in Zook, next day, for us, we don't have throw up. Amen? We have carryovers. Down here, we worship God. It's holy smoking. Amen? It's called holy smoking. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues. On the glory cloud of the Shekinah presence of our God. Amen, church. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord loves you. He's here right now. He's here to receive you just as you are. And He is the power of transformation. He is the power of life. He is the power of transmutation. He is the power of bringing you from one level to another level of glory. You cannot change yourself, my friend. You cannot transform yourself. You cannot. Come to Jesus as you are. Come to your buff. Stop trying to clean your life. Stop trying to clean yourself. You cannot. True repentance is not man's efforts. The word repentance is to change your mind in the Greek. Change your mind from trying to save yourself. Repentance from dead works. Trust Christ, not